and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. It's a beautiful day out there. 89 degrees currently. Heat index is at 94. Humidity's 51. Winds are out of the south-southwest at 26 miles an hour. Wind gust up to 34. And I think the wind's going to start coming. It's coming down tonight. Man, what a windy spring this has been. I'm not that old, but I am 60, but I don't remember it being this windy in a long time. For the spring, anyway. April's crazy. And this wind's just getting it. But it looks like I'm kind of taking a sneak preview of the Long Ranger. And after today, the winds just don't go away, but they're going to be half of what they are now, which is good. Let's check out some temperatures in our listening area, see who's coming in at number one. Altus has been ranked in there number one for all week, actually. Looks like they win again. They're 94 today right now, 91 at Hollis, 90 at Hobart, 89 at Weatherford, 88 at Putnam, 92 at Camargo, up there where one of my favorite cattle ladies lives at Arnett. It's 90, 87 at Cheyenne or at the Taylor Ranch, and 87 at Wheeler, and it is 90 at Shamrock. So anyway, it's just, it's warm. Let's check out some wind gusts. You want to? Let me see, where is that? It right there, the one that says wind, duh. Looks like, let's go back one here, get the colored one up so I can see. Looks like most of the high winds is kind of over to the east of our listening area, like following I-35 down to the city and then back down towards Lawton. They're having 38 and 40 mile an hour gust right now, so. And then up there in Panhandle, Oklahoma, the wind is out of the north at 20 to 30 miles an hour. So that just shows you that the Panhandle, you guys, you always get the worst of everything, I think. But anyway, I love it up there. They grow some good sweet corn up there and a couple pivots near Gage and where I get my sweet corn at sometimes. And there's a lot of good quail hunting up there and pheasant hunting. So anyway, well, let's check out what's happening on the markets. Let's start out with the futures. Corn, July, 773. Soybeans are at 16.94 for July. Soybean meal for July is at 4.16 a ton, short ton that is. Soybean oil for July is 78 cents. And then we got wheat. Hard red winter wheat for July is at 11.34. Oats are at 6.71. And cotton is coming in there at a whopping $1.43 a pound. Let's check out the cash grain prices for Oklahoma as of 11 a.m. Hard red winter wheat, $10.72 a bushel. Corn's at $8.12 a bushel. And Milo's at $7.63. And soybeans coming in there at a penny over 16 bucks. So $16.01 a bushel is what's going on our cash grain prices. Well, let's see what's causing all the ruckus today. Man, I tell you what, for our ag news that we have that I get every morning from five or six different companies, Ukraine has really become really quiet all of a sudden. I don't get that, but I do have some news from Ukraine that I'm going to read the next segment about some temporary granaries that they're going to be setting up in Poland. Soybean and grain futures were lower in overnight trading as investors take a risk-off approach amid global inflation concerns. Equity markets sold off yesterday with S&P 500 dropping to the lowest this year before rebounding just a little bit in overnight session on same concerns about continued demand that's fueling inflation worldwide. The U.S. Federal Reserve is expected today to again raise its key interest rate in a bid to cool the economy off and slow red-hot inflation. How much the federal funds rate will raise in a bit uncertain, though traders seem to have priced in the 75 basis point bump for this month and already looking ahead to a similar increase next month in July. On the weather front, extremely hot weather is hovering over most of Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio this week, with temperatures forecast to hit as high as 110 in some areas, according to the data from the National Weather Service. Guess they forgot to mention Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas Panhandle, because we're there, not 110. We already got past that, but we're still hot. Some rain in the northwestern Corn Belt may improve moisture, but hot, dry weather is expected to cause stress on recently emerged plants in much of the Midwest, said Don Kenny, an agriculture meteorologist with Maxar. Dry weather also is prevailing in much of the Delta this week. A few showers may fall in the southeastern parts of the region later this week, but rains will be limited and temperatures will be warm. Soybeans for July delivery dropped 4¾ cents to $16.93¾ a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Corn futures declined 2¾ cents to $7.65½ a bushel. Wheat futures for July delivery fell 2¾ to $10.47½ a bushel, while Kansas City futures lost 6¾ cents to $11.35½ a bushel. Well, we all know this, but I'm going to tell you guys that don't know about it. Record gas prices haven't reduced demand as the summer driving season wears on in the United States, according to data from the AAA, American Automobile Association, is better known as that. Regular gas prices on Tuesday rose to a record 5.016 cents per gallon average nationally. The automotive services company said that's up from 4.47 a month ago. Premium gas prices were at 5.69 yesterday, and that's up from 5.11 last month. Diesel prices on Tuesday, this is all national average prices, by the way, were at 5.75 a gallon versus 5.56 a month ago. Drivers buying E85, meanwhile, paid 4.33 a gallon at the pump yesterday versus 3.84 a month earlier. Despite the lofty prices, travelers are still hitting the roads. Based on the demand we're seeing, it seems high prices have not really deterred drivers, said Andrew Gross. If prices stay at or above $5, we may see people starting to change their daily driving habits or lifestyle, but it hasn't happened yet. I beg to pardon with that. I even talked to a gentleman that owns a ranch down here south Elk City this morning, and he has got some smaller vehicles that get better gas mileage to give some of his farm hands to drive around instead of their one tons like I got. I drove my one ton this week more than I have in the last month because I had things I needed to do. Other than that, I just been driving my old 2003 hunting wagon, my old Tahoe. It gets about 5-10 miles per gallon and better mileage, and air conditioner works, so I've been driving that. Yeah, we're changing away. Everybody's looking at that. You have to. Domestic gas inventories fell by 800,000 barrels to 218.2 million barrels last week, while demand grew by 220,000 barrels to 9.2 million gallons, according to the EIA. That's the Energy Information Admin. Reduced supply combined with increased demand is contributing and will contribute to higher prices as summer season wears on. While the company attributed the increase to rise in oil prices, crude futures are actually down in recent days. U.S. oil futures are down almost 4% in the past week to $117.51 a barrel. Now, yesterday it got up to $124, but it's back down. Let's see here. Let me check it real here quick. Sorry for the interruption, but we'll see what oil was, because I just seen it and I don't remember what it was. Let's see what it is. It's at 116.55 right now for West Texas. It hit June 8th. It hit 122.11 a barrel, the highest since March 8th, before falling back into the past 7 days. Still, gas prices paid by consumers at the pump continue to rise. California is the most expensive market in the United States right now at $6.43 a gallon, followed by Nevada at $5.65 and Alaska at $5.56. Most Corn Belt states, including the Dakotas, Minnesota, Nebraska, and Iowa, are paying $4.70 to $4.88 a gallon. Illinois drivers are paying $5.56 on average, and consumers in Indiana are paying a nickel over $5 at $5.05. Heat warnings are out everywhere, especially in the Corn Belt. In eastern Iowa and much of Illinois, the heat index values are expected to reach 105 plus this afternoon. Those working outside today are advised to exercise extreme caution due to the heat wave. In northern Indiana and southern Michigan, index values might top 110 today. Extreme heat and humidity will significantly increase the potential for heat-related illnesses, particularly for those working or participating in outdoor activities. So about 53% of the Texas wheat was been harvested as of yesterday. 32% of Oklahoma was in the bin as of yesterday, according to data I gathered up a while ago from the USDA. So there you go. That being said, next segment, we'll talk about livestock. I got results from Woodward yesterday on their cow and bull sale. I actually finally got the results from the sale at Hollis Saturday. Looked like they had a good sale. And then we'll have the futures, livestock futures, coming up next segment. But before we go to break, last Monday, Riley Broadbent is working for B&L Red Angus up at Putnam. Come over, and we went out to the Route 66 sod farm where they had the Ag in the Classroom bus pulling there with a lot of great people, teachers from all over the state. And here is one of the interviews that I let Miss Riley do with one of the teachers. And then when we get through with that, we'll go to break, and then I'll be right back.
This is Riley Broadbent with Today in Ag, and we are out here with the Ag in the Classroom at the Route 66 sod farm in Elk City, and I'm here with Dusty McCartney, and we're just going to talk to her a little bit about today and kind of what they're learning. So if you'll just tell me a little bit about yourself and where you're from.
Hi, I'm Dusty McCartney, and I'm from Ada, Oklahoma, born and raised there, still there. I teach at the Willard 5th and 6th grade center in Ada, and I teach 6th grade science, and I have a STEM ag elective.
That's awesome. How has ag impacted your life a little bit?
Ag has changed the way who I am as a teacher. I started with Ag in the Classroom about 10 years ago, going on these trips, and I slowly implemented it in my classroom. I wasn't sure I could. I use it every day now. It teaches my kids who they are, how much a part of this, because they are agriculture, whether they know it or not.
Yeah, well, since ag does play such a big role in literally everything we do, it's pretty easy to implement it in classrooms, even if you're not an ag teacher. It's easy to teach your kids about ag and how much it impacts them. And so just kind of what have you taken away from today and being out here at the sod farm?
So I use these trips when we visit. The first activity I have my kids do is draw a farmer. And a lot of times that farmer looks like what we see in old movies, the straw hat, the piece of hay hanging out their mouth, the overalls. And then the last activity we do is for them to draw a farmer again. And I use the inspiration from the farmers we see on these trips. And what we see is a lot of times the farmers will look like them at the end. It'll be a female with the, you know, they're wearing the cool clothes and they're out farming. So I use everything from this to show them what ag is in our state, what it looks like here. It looks like them.
Well, that's awesome. Well, thank you so much for talking to us today. We really enjoyed it.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
I farm and ranch for a living. That's all I do. So I've got property and equipment, irrigation systems, my house, my barns, and Mickey has everything now. I decided one day to call him, and I actually was having lunch with a friend, and he had his number, and we actually rang him up at lunch, and he was at my barn at my office that evening. Sat down, I showed him my deck sheets. He took them and was back in touch with me within 2 days or less with everything, and I pulled the trigger. He come back to the office, was signed all the papers and wrote him a check. I've never actually been to his office. I think it's in Mangum, but I couldn't get there right now without looking it up. My name's Bandy Silk. My family and I farm and ranch in the Delhi community. I'm a fifth generation farmer and rancher. I'm glad I've contacted Mickey Lively for my insurance needs.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
We strive in our cow herd for high efficiency cattle. We want lots of gain with low input. That's what we strive for. We want our customers to be able to wean the biggest calf without putting much money into that. We try to prove that through our commercial herd, and then if they prove themselves there, then we make them registered, and we chase those bloodlines. Lori White, B&L Red Angus, blredangus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
90 degrees, heat index is at 94, and I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you coming up later in the show. Currently, the winds are out of the south, southwest at 21 miles an hour. Humidity's 50, and the wind gusts are anywhere from 27 to 30 miles an hour. Well, let's check out the livestock market happening. Everything's in the green today, which is good. Live cattle for June, 137.82, up 2.6. Live cattle for August, 137.12, up 3. Live cattle October, 142.62, up 2.47. December, 148.17, up 1.9. Feeder cattle, August, 173.35, up 2. Feeder cattle for September, 175.42, also up 2. Lean hogs, July, 107.80. August, 104.07. October, 91.37. It's down 0.12. So, anyway, it's down a little bit. Not too bad. Oh, yeah, I forgot Bill Dance over at Delhi. Sugar's come back up, buddy. You come out of the 17 cents a pound range, you're back up into the 18.5 cents a pound. So anyway, you're getting worth more and more every day, old man. So anyway, enjoy it. I have some numbers from yesterday at Woodward. They had 778 head there. And is that right? Let's see here. Yep, Tuesday. Make sure I get that right when they're... Anyway, cows, breaker cows. They look like they were weighing anywhere from 1266 to 1560. Whoop, there's one of them weighed 1800. That's a big girl there. Average weight on them was 1414, and they were bringing anywhere from 94 cents to $98 or 98 cents per pound. $98 per hundred weight, however you want to look at it. And then on the boner cows, looked like they were weighing anywhere from 935 to 1545, and they were bringing anywhere from 86 to 97.50 per hundred weight. Lean cows, a lot of them yesterday, they looked like they were weighing anywhere from 887 to the heaviest was 1181, and that price range were there was anywhere from 5386 to 8426. Looks like they had quite a few bulls on hand, weighing anywhere from 1396 to 1805, bringing anywhere from $99 to $111.50 per hundred weight. Average price on them was 108 bucks per hundred weight. Cows, slaughter cows and bulls are just, I don't know if anybody's ever seen that, but they just been, except for a few weeks, the last 3 months have been just rock solid. I'm just waiting to see when that's going to end. Bred cows, medium and large, 2 to 4 year olds, looked like they were bringing anywhere from 1,100 to 1,350. 5 to 8 year olds were bringing in, they were bringing anywhere from 975 to 1,375. Bred cows, medium and large, 1 to 2s, 2 to 4 year olds, looked like they was bringing a little over $1,000, almost $1,100 a head. Cow-calf pairs, medium and large, with 150-pound calves or less, 2 to 4 year olds were bringing 1,200, and 5 to 8 year olds were bringing up to 1,300. Cow-calf pairs with 150-pound calves to 300-pound calves, 5 to 8 year olds were bringing up to 1,460 per head. 1,398 was their average price. Cow-calf pairs, medium and large, with 300-pound calves. They had a few of them in there that were older, brought 1,200 pounds. Them were 8 year old plus. And then on cow-calf pairs, medium and large, 1 to 2 with 150-pound calves, 2 to 4 year olds, they wasn't bringing much, 860, so they must have been pretty thin. At Hollis, last Saturday, that is, let me get back over here to my information phone, 1,131 head were sold at Hollis last Saturday, 300 to 400-pound steers, 217, 4 to 500, 205, 5 to 600, 199, 6 to 700 weights, up to $178, 7 to 800 pounds, 163, 8 to 900 pounds, 150, 900 plus, 140 on the heifers, 3 to 400, $1.75, 4 to 500 weights, 173, 5 to 600 weights, 162 open, 6 to 700 pound open, $1.64, 7 to 800 weights open, $1.45, 8 to 900 pounds, 130 open, 900 plus, $1.20. Packer cows at Hollis last week was bringing anywhere from 60 cents to 96 cents a pound. Packer bulls were bringing anywhere from 80 cents to $1.10. And that was happening there in Hollis, Oklahoma. Well, you know what's coming up this weekend? Father's Day. And then our next big holiday a few weeks down the road there will be 4th of July. You need to get some beef. You need to be barbecuing outside. You need to be grilling. You need to have you a cold beverage. Do some great. Great outcomes from taking planning and patience. Taylor Ranch Beef is an excellent example of this. If you're ordering for the September delivery, Taylor Ranch has been working on those steaks for the past 2.5 years. They start with hand-selecting the best combination carcass and muscle AI bulls in the Angus breed, utilize top nutrition and health protocols, and give the animals the best possible care. The end result is mouth-watering ribeye that gives you a great eating experience. And if you've not ever had the Taylor Ranch ribeye, you just don't know what you're missing out on. That's Taylor Ranch. They developed every animal as if it were going to be served at their own table. Quarters, halves, and whole beef available. Third party verified, all natural and hormone free, also available. Call Mr. Jimmy Taylor at 405-609-4662 because today is the Taylor Ranch Happy Cap Hour. And if you're watching on Facebook on the internet, look at the camera. I got it shining right there. Taylor Ranch. Get you some beef. That's what it is. Beef is what's for dinner. Well, we'll be right back after this.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, June 10th. 884 head were sold. 3 head of steers at 325 brought 210. 5 at 542 brought 178. 7 at 593 brought 177.50. 4 at 758 brought 158.50. 3 at 1,007 brought 141. 4 head of heifers at 274 brought 510. 3 at 450 brought 176. 13 at 494 brought 165. 3 at 533 brought 171. 13 at 597 brought 163.50. Butcher cows were 20 to 106. Butcher bulls brought 9250 to 116. Bred cows were 810 to 1575. Pairs brought 1100 to 1900. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
I've seen a lot of industries come and go. The ag sector is a basis for Western Oklahoma. We do ag real estate, cattle loans, crop loans, to purchase cows or to purchase stalkers for wheat or grass. We do operating loans for seasonal needs, to buy feed, purchase fertilizer, purchase seed, buy hay and feed for the winter. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hi, this is Ty Ford. I'm a local cattle rancher, and I buy my feed with Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. He's a Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, and they have been very helpful in developing a program for feeding out our butcher steers. We use his starter and finisher rations on our steers, and we have had great results and great feedback from our repeat customers.
Located on South Randall, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Heat index is at 95. Humidity 50. The winds are out of southwest, 22 miles an hour, gusting up to 28 in Elk City right now. And most of the listening area is all in the same temperature except for Altus. Let's see. Let's see what they got going on down there right now since they were at 90. Yep, they're still hot. 99 degrees. I think it's from all those airplanes taking off and landing. Man, up there in a panhandle, that looks great. Let's see, at Kenton and Boise City, they're 74 degrees right now. 76. And here we are in the 90s. What's up with that? Usually it's just vice versa. But anyway, the looks like there's a front coming through. But they are in the 81 is the highest temperature in the panhandle in northern of Oklahoma and the northern part of the Texas panhandle. We need some of that. Anyway, well, let's check it out. I'll be Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast coming up at the bottom of the hour. Coming up, let's check out. I wanted you guys to check this out. The New Zealand. New Zealand has proposed a novel way of fighting climate change. They are going to start charging farmers for the burps, farts, and waste of farm animals. As part of the system of selling tradable emissions credits, New Zealand wants to require ranchers to buy credits for the methane their livestock produce. So in other words, they're going to make money off of it, but they're not going to control the burps, farts, and waste of farm animals. So anyway, there is no question that we need to cut the amount of methane we are putting in the atmosphere. And an effective emissions pricing system for agriculture will play a key part in how we achieve that, James Shaw, New Zealand's climate change minister, told BBC News last week. Methane is the second most prevalent greenhouse gas after carbon dioxide, and the majority of methane emissions come from human activity. I don't see anybody trying to control the humans. In Iowa, a major beef processor has halted its eastern Iowa expansion, blaming increased construction costs. The Iowa premium spokesperson, Marcy Johnson, said the company has indefinitely paused building a new factory in Tama, Iowa. She said that the company will decide whether to resume the project later and will continue operating its current factory in the town, where 830 people work. Iowa Premium announced plans in March of 2021 to replace its current factory with a bigger plant. In a filing with the state, the company disclosed that it would hire 400 more employees there by the end of 2024, bringing in a total employment to almost 1,200 people in that town. The larger factory would double the company's production capacity in Tama and to 13,500 head a week. But due to costs, which could be, we all know there, of transportation, materials, and labor. What else is there? The Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife, the state of Washington, not D.C., will attempt to kill two wolves in the Togo Pack area following repeated attacks on cattle. The WDFW Director Kelly Suzwin authorized the killing of one to two wolves. The killings are not expected to harm the wolf's population ability to reach the statewide or local recovery objective, according to the agency that released this news. In previous years, the WDF has documented 12 to 30 mortalities per year, and the population has continued to grow and expand its range. The Togo Pack has a minimum of 7 members per the state's 2021 Wolf Survey. In 2021, the Togo Pack was targeted by state shooters following repeated livestock attacks, but no wolves from the pack were killed. The WDFW spent $3,100 on that unsuccessful effort. Well, there's continued wildfires burning in New Mexico. I did read the other day where President Biden is going to have FEMA reimburse all the private landowners and who's lost stock, buildings, ranch, everything, reimburse money to all these people, because I don't know if you guys know what started that big fire, the big one out in New Mexico. But I guess a month or two prior to the fire starting, the forestry department went out there and did a controlled burn in brush piles, but never went back and checked it, from my understanding. So they, and then here come the high winds, here come the drought, which they already had a drought going on, and there you have it. It happened. I had a text line question, and I think I might answer this right. He says, they live right beside I-40, and every day I see at least 30 to 40 semis hauling yellow, white, and purple onions going from west to east. Where are all these onions coming from? I'm going to take a wild guess and tell you California or Washington or Oregon. They grow a lot of onions in that area up there, and including Idaho. So that's where they're coming from. I bet the biggest part of them. California grows probably 70% of the vegetables in the United States, and that's where they're coming from. Hope that answers your question. All right, let's see what we're going to do. Oh, here's the deal on Ukraine. Like I said, it's been really quiet the last week or 10 days. I guess they're too busy on the January 6th little circus meeting they're having up there. The United States will build temporary grain silos on the border of Ukraine and Poland to help overcome a logistic barrier to exporting Ukrainian grain by the rail, according to President Biden, he announced yesterday. I'm working closely with our European partners on getting 20 million tons of grain locked in Ukraine out onto the market to help bring down food prices. Ukraine ordinarily is one of the leading wheat suppliers to the world market, the number one exporter of sunflower oil, and a large corn exporter as well. But its Black Sea ports are due to the blockade that follows Russia's February 24th invasion of Ukraine. The USDA estimates Ukrainian wheat and corn exports in the year ahead will be half the level before the invasion. The invasion scrambled wheat distribution channels and drove up commodity prices. Food deficit countries in Africa and the Middle East face sharply higher costs with the risk of hunger. They can't get out through the Black Sea because they get blown out of the water. So we're working on a plan to get it through other countries by rail, said Biden during a speech to the AFL-CIO convention, which was in Hollywood or Beverly Hills. But guess what? Ukraine has a system like Russian has, a rail gauge that is different than the gauge the rest of the gauge of the rest of the tracks in Europe. So we're going to build silos, temporary silos, in the borders of Ukraine, including in Poland, so we can transfer it from cars into those silos, into rail cars in Europe, and get it to the ocean and to get it across the world. But it's taking time. Biden also mentioned the plan for temporary silos during a planned speech and a reception over the weekend in Beverly Hills, California. Rail shipment of grains from Ukraine is a slower process than ocean freighters, but the patched-together route to Belarus from the other alternative is at hand. So I guess they're going to take that rail, and I'm probably, since they're going to announce where they're going to put them, I guess the Russians can go through there with their MiGs and blow up the rails if they really wanted to be a horse's butt about it. But it's just me thinking out loud here. Well, when I come back, I'll have the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you. And I got this thing about making the most out of your hay and opportunities in our listening area. And might have a little news, hot news off the item of the U.S. Peanut Council. Be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards Weekly Cattle Sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. For sale this Thursday, June the 16th. We're expecting 2,500. We'll start the auction probably 9 o'clock. From Swap Out, got 360 heifers, 6 to 650. Canton got 280 heifers at 7. Booker got 20 steers at 9. Ashland, Kansas, 130 steers, 8.5. Laverne got 50 steers, 8 to 9. Swap Out, 60 heifers, 7.5. Thomas, 55 steers, 8.50. And Thomas, 20 steers, 8.5. Had an extremely good cow and bull market, killing market on Tuesday, selling cows that topped 102 and our killing bulls topped 123. Good time to switch those cows by a younger bred cow. Give us a call. The only week we close in the summer is July the 4th week, so the people can take their families on vacation. Give us a call. Thanks again, Jerry Nine and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. That's why you need feed that's built the reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. iPro Feed's commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your local iPro Feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Today in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Heat index 95. Humidity's drop 1 percentage point to 49. Southwest winds 24 with gusts up to 32 right now. It's just breezy out there, but like I said, after today, don't get mad if one day is windy. But looking at my Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast here, she looks pretty good after this afternoon. Today, hot 97. Tomorrow, partly cloudy or partly sunny, whichever you want to look at it. 96 with winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Friday, hot, but winds will only be 7 to 12 miles an hour. And we got Saturday, 96, and Sunday, 98 degrees. I know what's going to be happening tomorrow night in Sayre, Oklahoma. The rednecks with Farmers Tans will be out in full force at the Sarah Golf Course. Big money. 7-week carryover tomorrow night. It will be the last tournament. If you're a non-member, $115 to get in, I believe. Member to get in if you hadn't attended none of them. There's $3,000 or $4,000 up for grabs tomorrow night at the Sarah Golf Course. And it will be the last one. Win by one. Last carryover. Like I said, I'm not making fun of farmers or ranchers with farmer's tans because I'm one of those guys. But anyway, White Legs will be out tomorrow night to see if they can get enough money to put in their cover crop this summer or pay their fertilizer bill. But anyway, we'll have some fun tomorrow night up there. And then what else we got going on here? Oh, friendly reminder. I told you earlier in the week, if you're wanting to sell some cows, calling some cows, or you got some calves you need to sell, you need to get it done this week or next week, because it's Friday the 2nd, I believe. Be Saturday 3rd. No, be the 1st of July. Elk City Livestock Auction will not be having a sale. And I'm pretty sure Hollis will not be having one that weekend. Then Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction will not be having their sale on Monday, the 4th of July. And according to what Jerry just said on his commercial right here, they will not be open at all having their cow or bull sale or their feeder calf sale the week of the 4th of July. They'll be closed all week. So keep that in mind when you're thinking about selling some cattle here. Hobart's going on right now. Woodward will have their weekly feeder calf sale tomorrow. Elk City will be having theirs here Friday. Hollis again Saturday in Hollis, Oklahoma, down there in the middle of Harmon County. And then we got Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction will be having theirs Monday morning. So you can call Brandon Hickey if you got anything you want to take in Friday or Monday to Elk City or the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction. Get you some cattle sale. Be careful with your cattle. This heat and everything, just be careful, rouse them around a little bit. If you're watering on a tank and don't have water in your pond or don't have ponds, please check your water daily. It's so important that the cattle have fresh water every day. They drink, you know, the rule of thumb is they said they drink anywhere from 30 to 50 gallons of water a day. Actually, me paying attention to some cattle when you have them in the lot and you don't have a tank in there and you take a protein tub or something in there, I can see one cow, even during the winter, I put 15 gallons of water in there and she can suck it down in one breath. So I really think they drink more than that a day, but who knows? Okay, let's go on. I got your trends going on out of the way. Let's say making opportunities of your hay. We have some rains that came in here through Western Oklahoma and the Eastern Texas Panhandle at the right time. So let's capitalize on chances to make the best hay you can while you can. I know there's a lot of sorghum hay grazers out there that is planted. I see it driving this morning through the country. A lot of it's up, looking good. This heat is either hurting or helping, but sorghums and corns. Hey, I want to give a shout out to the Jackson down there, east of Triggers down there on 152 along Elk Creek there. That's some of the best looking dryland corn I've seen in a long time. So I don't know when you guys got that planted. It looked like you had to have planted it in March to be as big as it is right now, but it looks great. You hit the rains at the right time. Hopefully you get another couple rains here in the next month or so. But man, if you guys are driving along 152 east of Triggers, where 6 and 152 come together on the south side of 152, before you go up the hill to mellow out, headed towards Cordell, look at that corn on the side of the highway there. It is some awesome looking corn. So a big shout out. Grazing is the best way to use forages, but you need hay for overwinter feeding. And sometimes there is so much growth, you make hay to use the forage. Here's you some tips to maximize your forages as hay and haylage or pasture. All right. Cutting forage after a rainy spell. excess soil moisture is still a problem even if the sun shines for a couple of days. Avoid mowing hay when the top 2 inches are wet. Excess moisture slows drying and can make and putting up dry hay more difficult. Mow at least 2 to 3 inches high for more airflow. This is one of the mistakes that I think I see some farmers make, cutting, like, especially alfalfa. It's raining. Your hay needs cut. I understand it. Believe me, I'm in the same boat you are. You get in a hurry. So if you got sandy ground, you can probably get by after a 1 to 2 inch rain and getting in there in a few days and getting it cut and cut it a little high so the air does flow under it. But one of the biggest mistakes I see people make with tight ground is they're antsy. And believe me, I'm not dogging on you. I know you're antsy and you want to get it cut. But you cut that hay off, and you're, especially on alfalfa, you cut the hay off and you lay it on the ground, and it takes forever to dry. So, like right now, finally got in there in the past 4 or 5 days to get your hay cut because it was wetter than crap last week. And you, a couple days afterwards in tight ground, you get in there and you cut the hay. You don't realize that you're leaving small ruts with your equipment. You don't see it, but you're kind of making that ground uneven. And alfalfa is 4, 5, 6 year crop, so you want to keep that ground as level as you can. But you lay it down on that tight ground, and we have all this wind for 4 or 5 days, and you don't want to roll it because until you're going to bale it, so it doesn't really give it a chance to cure out correctly. So I just think it's, if you just be a little more patient and gave that ground a couple more days to dry out, like 4 or 5, even if it's blooming, it's already blooming, so you're it'll be just fine. But anyway, just be a little more patient and let that ground dry a little more, and you won't leave those unseen ruts that you really don't see until 3 or 4 cuttings later. You're wondering why right there in the middle the hay's been cut off even, but where your tractor ruts are, it's 3 or 4 inches tall. Just be a little more patient, take care of that ground, because you've got to deal with this for 4 or 5 years on alfalfa. Cutting forages after a rainy spell, excess moisture is still a problem. Even if the sun shines, moisture content in the hay. Dry hay must be baled with no more than 18% moisture. For small square bales, 16 should be the limit. Higher moisture contents result in sour or moldy hay, just like we were talking about yesterday, or fires. And we don't need fires. Bale or weight decisions. I would rather leave forage standing than have poor quality hay. If it's put up wet, quality is quickly reduced. That can be very costly. Not only will livestock not do too well on poor quality hay, but also remove and relocate it very expensive nutrients that eventually will have to be replaced. Hay versus grazing. Hay usually is a cheap insurance if you run low on pasture, but maybe not this year. One must consider fuel and value of nutrients removed. If you consider your time being free, I think everyone, no matter how efficient their type of grazing system is, should have some hay on hand. It is your insurance plan and a contingency plan. Feeding less hay is a good thing, though, if it means you're grazing more. Everybody was running out of hay this last spring, if you remember right, because we didn't plan on it not raining all winter. So anyway, hay is really, really good insurance. I ended up having 30 bales left over. And for 50 head that I have, that's not great, but it's not bad. But it was getting close. I mean, I was ready to go to the sale barn. I wasn't going to run out of hay. It was getting stupid to be feeding hay during April. And I was ready to go to the sale barn. If you guys remember me telling you, if it doesn't rain Wednesday, I'm taking them to Thursday to the sale barn. Wednesday night it rained. My cows were saved, and I was super excited about it. Basing hay on soil fertilizer. If you want to make hay off pasture fields, choose one with better soil fertility. If fields are in the nutrient building stage, it's counterproductive to take hay off of it. No question about it. You're just removing and moving needed nutrients, especially phosphorus. Certainly spend a few dollars on soil fertility tests so you have a better understanding of nutrient levels. Focus forage harvesting, dry hay, or baleage on fields with the most nutrient availability. Only cut what you know you will need and protect the investment by harvesting it correctly and storing it properly. Buying hay? If you plan on buying hay, it's possible to visit the hay field so you can have a better idea of the quality that you're getting. If you're purchasing hay that's already been baled up or seen sight unseen, please request the hay have it analyzed. Ask them to have it analyzed if it ain't already. I mean, you can spend $50, $60 a bale, and that's cheap hay right now, but when it gets here on a truck, just like a truckload that we got here a while back from a landlord that they bought sight unseen, all I got from the truck driver when he was on his way, he said, "We need to handle this very carefully." And when he got there, I was like, wow. But anyway, runaway forage. What if forage got away from you? Keep grazing, allotted in smaller allotments, and keep moving. This will return more nutrients back to the same area and keep forage under more control. Clipping pastures. If you clip, only remove seed heads and stay above the leaves. If you can't do that, just graze it. If you're mowing to improve quality, have at it. Just don't mow shorter than necessary. If you're mowing purely for just to make it to look better, leave it alone. The millionaires and the billionaires live in the cities. You don't have to look like the Joneses out here. Just leave it alone. You do your fence lines if you want. But me being a wildlife fanatic like I am, especially with quail, leave your fence lines at least. Don't mow your fence lines. Leave it about, or you can mow your fence line, but leave it about 4 to 5 foot away from your fence. So quail, I call it the superhighway, quail superhighway, where those quail can walk down those fence lines because they like to move around. And they use tree rows and fence lines to move around and protect them. The hawks usually don't dive in on them when they're around the fence line. So and hawks very rarely catch one, but they do. But just leave that alone. Think about the wildlife that you got. Don't spray it. Leave the weeds there. It's funny, everybody says, "I got to control those weeds." They spray every year, so somebody ain't doing a very good job of controlling the weeds. So you're going to spray them anyway every year. So just leave them alone in the fence line. They ain't going to make your life any more miserable. And do something for Mother Nature. Feed the quail. Let them have it. Anyway, that's your tip of the week for haying. Got any questions, let me know. It's just it's just a suggestion, just something to talk about. I'm running out of time. I don't think I have time to put this deal on here from Tyrone Spearman from the Georgia on the peanuts. I'll do that tomorrow, and tomorrow we even talk about some early weaning benefits for first calf heifers. Throw it out there at you, and let's just look one more time at what the market's doing. Oil is still going down. It's almost down to below 116, which is good. We need it to. Live cattle, feeder cattle are still all going up. August live cattle right now is up $3, which is good. Grains are still doing all right. You guys have a blessed day. I will see you tomorrow. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.